B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Shabbos Daf Lamed Vav. We're going to start 8 lines from the bottom of the Omud on Daf Lamed Hey Omud Beis, and we're actually in the middle of a brisa. Says the Gemara, Omer Rabbi Yosi Bar Chanina. Rabbi Yosi Bar Chanina said, Shomati, I heard, she'im bo lahadlik achar sheish tkiyos. If somebody wants to light candles immediately after the 6th sounding of the shofar, the tkiya, Madlik is allowed to light still. Shehari nosnu chachomim shiur lechazon haknesses lehoylich shofari lebeisai. The person who's sounding the shofar, who is the chazan, the gabba of the Beis HaKnesses of the shul, he was allowed to, after he finished blowing the shofar, he was allowed to go and place the shofar in a special place back in his home. And you're not allowed to take this shofar on Shabbos. So it must be they left enough time between where he was blowing and his home to go back and take the shofar back home, and all that time it's not yet Shabbos, and in those few moments you can light the Shabbos candles. Omar Loi, he said to him, Imkein nosato d'varecho l'shiurin, you've given a very unclear time, because every shamash, every gabai might be a different distance from his home when he's blowing the shofar. And then in every place, there's going to be a different amount of time after the 6th kia that you're allowed to light the candles. Elamokim tsanua yeshto ilchazan haknesses bereish gagoi. The chazan had on his roof, from where he sounded the shofar for everyone to hear, he had a special place there where he could hide and put away this shofar. Shesham maniach shofari. Lefi she'ein metaltelin loyes ha-shofar v'loyes ha-chotzoitzreis. Immediately after blowing the 6th sound, it was already also to do malachas. You're not allowed to carry not a shofar, a horn, and not a chatzoitzeres, not a trumpet on Shabbos, and therefore he would put it immediately in this place that was designated for it on the roof of his home. Asks the Gemara of Otanya, shofar metaltel v'chatzoitzeres eino metaltelin. We saw in a different brisa that you are allowed to move a shofar, you're only not allowed to move a trumpet. The reason a trumpet is mukta is because the only thing you can do with it is sound sounds, and that's not allowed on Shabbos, and therefore the trumpet is mukta. But a shofar, a horn, can be used on Shabbos, and it's not mukta. Omer v'yesi loikashya, kan b'yochid, kan b'tzibur. If it's a shofar that belongs to a private person, then it's not mukta. If it belongs to the public, which is never going to be used for anything besides for making the sounds, then it's mukta. Omer le'abaye or b'yochid le'maychozi. What can a private person use a shofar for that would make it not be mukta on Shabbos? Hoil v'ro'i le'gamea b'imayim le'tinoik. You can feed a little child through the shofar with water, similar to what we know as a baby bottle. You fill it up with water from the wide side, you put the narrow side of the shofar into the baby's mouth, and slowly the water trickles into his mouth. And since it can be used for something which is permitted on Shabbos, and not just for blowing the shofar, therefore it's not mukta, and you're allowed to move it on Shabbos. Ask the Gemara, B'tzibur nami chozi legamea letinoik, oni. Even a shofar belongs to the tzibur, there's sometimes a responsibility for the tzibur, for the community, to feed the child. For example, if you have a child of a poor person and there's nobody to feed this little baby, and it's up to the community to feed it, and then the community would use a community shofar in order to feed, to give this child water. Vusu, and also Hotanya, we saw in another brisa, in a third brisa, Kashem Shemetaltelin as a shofar, Kach Metaltelin as a chitzitzreis. Exactly in the same way that you're allowed to move a shofar on Shabbos, you're also allowed to move a trumpet. You cannot use a trumpet to feed a baby. So the Gemara is asking, Mani, who are the authors of these different brises? They seem to be contradicting each other. Says the Gemara Eloloi Kashya. A different answer to explain these three brises. Ha Rabbi Yehuda, one of them is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Ha Rabbi Shimon, one of them is the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. And Ha Rabbi Nechemya, and one of them is the opinion of Rabbi Nechemya. And to understand this, we have to explain there are three different opinions regarding the halachas of mukta. Rabbi Shimon says there's no mukta. He disagrees with the concept of meleches mukta, the issa of mukta. It's not melecha, the issa of mukta on Shabbos. And Tosfos goes at length exactly when Reb Shimon does or does not agree, but I'm just keeping this simple as Rashi says it. At least in our context, there's a concept called that according to Reb Shimon, there's no muktzah. According to Reb Yehuda, there is muktzah. According to Reb Nechemiah, not only does he hold there's muktzah, but he holds that even a kli, that you could do something with it that's mutter on Shabbos, since its main use and the use it was dedicated for and designated for is one that's asa, even though you can and intend to use it for something mutter, it's still muktzah. So the braisa that says that shofreis and chatzetzreis, you are allowed to move them, that's going according to Reb Shimon. There's no issa of muktzah. The braisa that says that chatzetzreis are asa, but shofar is not muktzah, is going according to Reb Yehuda, who says that the chatzetzreis are muktzah because you can only use them to sound the chatzetzeres, the trumpet, and that's asa on Shabbos. A shofar, any shofar, even that of a rabbim, of a community, can be used as a bottle, and therefore it's not muktzah. Reb Nechemiah says that since even a shofar is made mainly to be blown, to make a sound with it, even though you could use it as a bottle to feed a baby, nonetheless, it's still muktzah, and therefore he holds, that's the first price that we saw, that also chatzetzeres and also shofar is muktzah. The question is, that what the price of first says, that ein metaltlin lo yasa shofar v'lo yasa chatzetzeres, once it says, and this price we just said is Reb Nechemiah, once it says that even a shofar you're not allowed to move, that means not only is muktzah osa, but even a type of muktzah that you could really use for something that's mutter, it's also osa, namely a shofar. Why did the braisa have to say v'lo yasach hatzotzreis and not the trumpets? Of course the trumpets are muktzah, what's the chiddush? And that's what the Gemara means to ask here. And the Gemara is answering that by saying, umay shofar, when it speaks in the ratio of that braisa, it says shofar nami hatzotzreis, it means a chatzetzreis. A shofar in that context means a trumpet, and the trumpet in that context means a shofar. So the braisa is really saying you're not allowed to move a trumpet and also a shofar. Kedir Rav Chisda, and this is going in accordance to what we know from Rav Chisda. The Omer of Chisda. Rav Chisda said, "Hani tlas mili." There are three things that ishtanu shmayhu mi. That when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, their names got switched over. One of them is Chatzotzrosa Shofra, and Shofra Chatzotzara. That the Shofar is now called, the horn is called a trumpet, Chatzotzeres, and the trumpet is called a Shofar. L'may nafkemina, what practical and halachic difference does it make whether you call it a shofar or you call it a chatzitzeres? Le shofar shel Rosh Hashanah. We know that on Rosh Hashanah you have to take a shofar. You cannot blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah with a trumpet. So you have to know that if you go into a store and you ask for a shofar, realize this is not a shofar, this is a trumpet that they're calling a shofar today. So if they've changed the names, ask for a chatzitzeres and you'll get a shofar. Rav Chisda says, another thing that got switched over after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, Arava Tzavtzafa, what used to be called an Arava is now called a Tzavtzafa. Tzavtzafa Arava, and what used to be called Tzavtzafa is now called an Arava. L'may nafkemina, what's the difference? What does this switch mean to us? L'lulav, you have to know that to take a lulav, you need to take an Arava that it says in the Torah. You cannot go to somebody who's selling plants and say to him, can I have an arava? He's going to give you what the Torah called a tzavtzafa. You're not yetzer the mitzvah of lulav. If the arava is called a tzavtzafa, ask for a tzavtzafa, you'll get an arava. What's the third thing that Rav Chisda said has got switched? Psoira, psoirta. Psoirta, psoira. What used to be called psoira is called psoirta, and psoirta is now called psoira. A big loaf of bread used to be called ptoira, and a small loaf of bread used to be called psoirasa. And now that got changed over. They're calling a big loaf psoirasa and a small loaf psoira. L'may nafkemina, what difference does that make? L'mekach u'memka. You have to know that when you're selling something and you commit yourself to a sale, you have to know, what did you mean? Did you mean, when you spoke about psoira, did you mean psoira of before the Churban, or did you mean psoira of now? Omar Abaya, af onu noimar, we can give you another example. Hoivlilo beikosi. Beikosi, hoivlilo. There was something called a hoivlilo, and that got switched with a beikosi. What used to be called beikosi is called hoivlilo, and what used to be called hoivlilo is called a beikosi. An animal has a number of different parts to its stomach. One of them is called the Beis HaKosos, and one of them is called a Hovlila. And the names got switched at some point. L'may nafkimina asks the Gemara, what's the difference what you call which stomach? Yeah, the difference is L'machat shenimtzeis ba'ovi Beis HaKosos. If a needle penetrated part of the wall of the Beis HaKosos, the original Beis HaKosos, then the mitzad echot kshera, if it only punctured one side of the wall of the Beis HaKosos, then kshera, it's kosher. Or mishneid stodim trefa, but if it punctured both sides of the walls, it went straight through, then the animal is a trefa. And this halacha that it, if it punctured just one part of the thickness of the wall, it's still kosher, that's only true in the Beis HaKosos that had a thicker wall, and not with the Hovlila. Now that you've changed over and you've called Hovlila Beis HaKosos, it's very important that you know that the halachas of Beis HaKosos do not apply to the new stomach that we're calling today, Beis HaKosos. Omer Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi says, I'll add on another one. Af onu noimar. We can add on another term that got switched at some point, possibly also at the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Bovel. Borusif, Borusif, Bovel. Bovel changed its name to Borusif, and Borusif changed its name to Bovel. L'may nafkimina. What's the difference whether you call it Bovel or you call it Borusif? Says the Gemara, nafkimina is legite noshim. When you write a get, which is a document with which one divorces a woman, somebody wants to get divorced, he has to give his wife a get, and it's very important that you write the name of the town that you live in as of today. If this place is now called Bovel, but it used to be called something else, it used to be called Borusif, and you write the get that in Borusif, the get's going to be posel. You have to refer to the place as it's known now at the time of the get. So that's the nafkamina. Hadron, aloch, perek ba'memadlikin. Emir Tzashem, we're going to do chazoron, perek ba'memadlikin, and we're going to start the third perek in Maseches Shabbos, perek kira. Before we start learning Perek Kira, we have to introduce a few concepts, and we're going to try and remember these concepts in order that I shouldn't have to keep repeating, explaining, and translating the same words that are concepts that we have to get to learn and understand. The concept of Kira. What is Kira? Kira is a type of oven. We're going to learn there are three different types of stoves, of ovens. One is called a Kira, one is called a Tanur, and one is called a Kupach. The Kira is what we would say the coolest of all of them. A Tanur is even hotter, and a Kupach is even hotter. But the first sugyas here are speaking about a Kira, which is a type of oven, which is a type of oven which is the coolest of all the ovens. We have to know that there are two sugyas we're talking about here. One is called shehiya, and one is called chazor. We all know that on Shabbos one is not allowed to cook. To Issa, it's a melacha called bishul. Putting an uncooked item, solid or liquid, into a stove on Shabbos is chayev for bishul. However, if a food, solid or liquid, has been sufficiently cooked before, then putting it in the oven may not be an issa d'oraisa of bishul, but there could be other issues with it. Number one, there's an issue of merze kamavashal. It looks like you're cooking. Number two, in certain circumstances, there may be a risk that you're going to stoke the coals in the oven. And the Rabbanon said you're not allowed to do something that could put you at risk of possibly stoking the coals. Stoking the coals may not be an issa of bishul, but it's an issa of havara. You're not allowed to light a flame on Shabbos, and stoking a coal is included in that issa. Now, when a person is cooking, he's got his food in a pot, then there's two types of, let's call it melachas, they're not really melachas, but there's two type of cases we could be talking about. One is shahiyah, which means you put it on the stove, or in the stove, we'll discuss that later, you put it on the stove before the onset of Shabbos. And all that's happening now is you're leaving it there. That's called shehiyah. Shehiyah means waiting. It's being left there. And the question, are you allowed to leave a pot to cook if you put it on before Shabbos and it's cooking on its own, it's continuing to cook on Shabbos? And then there's another concept, and that's one of chazara. You have a pot. Let's assume the food inside has been cooked and is all ready. There's no problem of bishul. You've taken it off the stove. Are you allowed to now put it back on the stove? We would have thought that it would make sense. There shouldn't be a problem with that, as far as bishul is concerned. However, is doing an act on Shabbos of putting a pot onto a stove, is that allowed, or is there a risk that since you're putting it onto the stove, it seems you want it to remain hot? If you want it to remain hot, there might be the risk that you're going to stoke the flames or stoke the coals on Shabbos. It means the halachas of chazara, because you're doing the act of chazara, of replacing, of putting back on Shabbos, are going to be more stringent than those of Shehiyah, where you're not doing anything on Shabbos. There's another concept we're going to discuss here at length, and that is the concept called grufa uketuma. A magrefa is a shovel. Goruf means that you have shoveled away the coals. Some say it means you've shoveled it to one side of the oven, and that way you've made it clear that you're not really interested that these coals should continue heating the oven. Others say that you've shoveled them totally out of the oven. Either way, goruf means you've shoveled away the coals. Kotum means that you have covered the coals, that way cooling them down a little bit, and they will slowly extinguish. And goruf v'kotum is a simon. It's a recognition that you do not really want the coals, and they act as a reminder. Don't forget, you've shoveled them away because it's Shabbos. You obviously shoveled them away before Shabbos, and therefore a person will not come to stoke the flames. The question is, since we said that chazora is more chomor than shehiyah, it could be that you only need the heta of, or you only need the condition of goruf v'kotum in order to allow you to do chazora in circumstances that chazora is muta, but regarding shehiyah, which is more kal, which is more lenient, it could be that in the instances that one is allowed to do shehiyah, one would not even need goruf v'kotum, because the very fact that you haven't done anything on Shabbos, you just left it there for before Shabbos, does not require the condition of goruf v'kotum. Just for practical reasons, goruf v'kotum is what we know as the blech. The blech is a tin container. Blech is actually a translation of aluminium, I think, and in Yiddish. And you put just cover over the flame. In every Jewish home, we know that on Shabbos, the flames are covered over. That is what we call in this Mishnah, kotum. It's covered over. Because the kotum, the goruf v'kotum is there, that you shouldn't stoke the flames, many poskim say that nowadays it's not sufficient that you just cover the flame, you have to actually cover the knobs, which is where we stoke our flames today. So we know what shehiyah is, we know what chazara is, we know what goruf is, we know what kotum is, and we're going to remember also there's a difference between chamin and tavshil. Chamin means hot water. Hot water is put to the boil. Once it's boiled, nothing happens. There's no advantage of leaving it on the fire. But in contrast to that, a tavshil, any other type of cooked dish, a soup, a meat, whatever it may be, then keeping it on the fire, keeping it on the boil, will actually help it become tastier. So even though it's already cooked, but you have an interest in keeping the cooking process going and being, it's getting hotter and staying hotter, and you have an interest more than hot water, and therefore we'll see, according to some opinions, it's going to be easier to allow us to do either shehiyah or chazara with chamin, hot water, than it is with tavshil, because with tavshil there's a greater risk that you're going to stoke the flames. With those concepts in mind, let's learn our Mishnah, and we're not going to translate all the words each time, but we should understand from this introduction, we should understand the next sugyas. Says the Mishnah, Kira, a type of oven, Shehi Sikur, that was heated up, Bekash u'Begvava, either with straw or with other plant stubble, and with straw and stubble, there are no coals whatsoever, there's nothing to stoke, Noisnin Oleo Tavshil, you're allowed to put onto such an oven a tavshil, not only hot water, but even any other dish, a tavshil, you're allowed to put on it. Now, what does it mean to put? Does it mean shehiyah? Does it mean chazara? The Mishnah hasn't told us. We'll discuss that in the Gemara. begefes ubeitzim. However, if you're using pulp from a fruit press or wood, and they do turn into a type of coal, loy yitain, you're not allowed to put. Again, we don't know what lo yitain means. Does it mean shahia or chazora? We're going to see that in the Mishnah. But whatever it means, in the Gemara, sorry, but whatever it means, lo yitain ad sheyigroif oy ad sheyitain esa efer, you're only allowed to be noisen, you're only allowed to do whatever you're allowed to do if it's goruf. If you have shoveled away the coals, or ad sheyitain esa efer, you've put ashes on top of it, you've covered the coals with ashes, and that's called kotum, and once it's goruf for kotum, then it's mutter to be yitain. Beis Shammai oimrim, Beis Shammai say, chamin, avaloi tavshil. Whatever you're allowed to do with water, but not with other dishes. Beis Hillel oimrim, chamin, v'tavshil. Beis Hillel say that what you're allowed to do both with hot water and with another dish. One machloikus, Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel. Another machloikus, Beis Shammai oimrim noitlin avalei machzirin. Beis Shammai say that whatever is muta. Beis Shammai say that when you take a pot off the stove or out of the stove on Shabbos, you're not allowed to put it back. There's an issa of chazora. Beis Hillel oimrim af machzirin. Beis Hillel say that there's even a heta you're allowed to, obviously under certain circumstances, we'll see in the Gemara, you're allowed to put a pot back onto the fire, what we call chazora. Says the Gemara, Iboy Elohu, the Gemara's got a big question that's going to keep us busy for the next daf or so. Hai lo yitain, when it says in the Mishnah, noisnin and lo yitain achi yigreif achi yitain esoifer, the Mishnah made it clear that yitain, putting the pot, is only allowed when it's goruf v'kotum. What does that mean? In what case are we talking about? Are we talking about lo yarzir, that only regarding the issa of chazora, there's a tnai, a condition that it needs to be goruf v'kotum, lo yachziru aval lishois, but regarding the issa of shehiya, mashin afal pi she'enei goruf v'enei kotum, but regarding the heta of shehiya, leaving a pot on there, on the stove, if you put it on before Shabbos, does not require the condition of goruf v'kotum, umani chananya here, and that will be the opinion of Chananya. The Tanya we saw in the Braisa, Chananya Omer, kol shu k'maychol ben rusoi, as long as the food has been minimally cooked, which we've discussed previously, it's either a third according to Rashi or half according to other Rishonim, muta lishoise al gabakira, you're allowed to leave it on the stove, afal pisha ina goruf ina kotum, you do not need goruf v'kotum. Oy Dilma, says the Gemara, the other way of understanding the Mishnah is lishois tatnan, that even regarding the is of shehiya, the Mishnah is saying the goruf v'kotum in iloi loi, that only muta if it's goruf v'kotum, v'kol shekein l'hachzir, and it goes without saying that if shehiya needs goruf v'kotum, kol shekein chazora will need goruf v'kotum. Those are the two stodim, the two options of how to learn the Mishnah. Does chazora, the chazora always needs goruf v'kotum? Does shehiya need the condition of goruf v'kotum? Says the Gemara. Toshima, we're going to try and bring proof to this from the sequence in our Mishnah. Midik toni trei bovi b'masnisin. Let's remember, at the end of the Mishnah, there were two machlokes, two arguments between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. The first one was Beis Shammai oimrim chamin, avaloi tavshil. Or Beis Hillel oimrim chamin v'tavshil. Beis Shammai said, whatever's allowed is allowed with water, not with other dishes. Beis Hillel said other dishes too. The second machlokes, Beis Shammai oimrim noitlin avaloi machzirin. Beis Shammai say there's an issa of chazora. Beis Hillel say there's a heta of chazara. So now the Gemara explains, if you say that the requirement to have goruf v'kotum is not only with chazara but also with shehiya, hochik toni, and then the Mishnah would be read as follows: kir o sheisikua bekash o begvava, if the oven has been lit, has been heated with kash o gvava, which we said does not make any coals, mashin. In our Mishnah it says noisnin, but now we're assuming that noisnin means mashin. It means shehiyah, lahashois. So mashin oleo tavshil. You're allowed to leave on it a tavshil. Begefes or be'etzim. But if this kira has been heated up with gefes or eitzim that do make colds, lo yishe, you're not allowed to do shehiyah, achi yigroi for achi yitain efer, until you do grufa uketumo. Umahin mashin, and then the first machlokes in the Mishnah is telling us what's mutter to do shehiyah, b'shamay yomrim chamin, avaloi tafshil, b'shamay say shehiyah is mutter with chamin, assuming there's goruf v'kotum, and b'shilil oimim chamin v'tavshil. And b'shilil say that, assuming it's goruf v'kotum, shehiyah is muta even with tavshil. V'chiyecha depligi b'lehashis, in the same way as there's a machleikas, what you're allowed to do shehiyah with, pligi nami b'lehachzi, they also argue regarding the halachas of chazora, shebishama oimim noitlin avalei machzirin, b'shama say that Chazora is always asa. Ubishilil oimrim af machzirin. Bishilil say that whatever you're allowed to do shehiyah to, you're also allowed to do chazora to. So the Mishnah makes sense. It reads well. Eloi omrus lehachzir tnan. If you say that the Mishnah that says that you need goruf v'kotum is only talking about chazora, but by shehiyah, there's no difference between whether it's goruf v'kotum or not goruf v'kotum in similar to the halacha of Chananya, Hochik Toni, then we would have to read the Mishnah as follows. Kira shi sikua bekasha begvava, if you heated up a kira with kash and gvava, machzirin oleo tafshil, since there are no coals, you can even put a cooked food back into the oven. Begefes ubeitzim, if the tanur, if the kira, sorry, was cooked, was heated with gefes and eitzim, lo yachzir, you're not allowed to do chazora, unless it's goruf v'kotum, and if it's goruf v'kotum, you're allowed to do chazora. Umayin machzirin, what are you allowed to do chazora with? B'shamay oimrim chamin, b'shamay say only with hot water, avaloi tavshil, but not with a tavshil. U'b'shilil oimrim chamin v'tavshil. So if we learn that the Mishnah that requires goruf v'kotum is talking about chazora, and assuming that the first argument b'shamayim chamin avaloi tavshil is a direct hemshach, is a continuation, and is talking about chazora, then the machlokes b'shamay b'shilil, whether chamin or tavshil also, is talking about chazora. Then how do we now understand the next argument in the Mishnah? B'shamay umrim noitlin avaloi machzirin. B'shamay say you're not allowed to do chazora. What's that talking about? It must be talking about you're not allowed to do chazora of a tavshil, because chamin, b'shamay just said a moment earlier, you are allowed to do chazora of chamin. So we're talking about tavshil you're not allowed to put back. U'b'shilil oimrim af machzirin. B'shilil say you're even allowed to do chazora with the tavshil. That's an exact repetition. It said exactly the same thing twice. First it says that assuming that the Mishnah is talking about chazora, b'shamay say chamin, b'shilil say af tavshil. And then b'shilil say, then the line later, b'shamay say loy machzirin, talking about a tavshil, b'shilil say even tavshil machzirin, that's a repetition. Ha'osulomoli, then why do we need a repetition? And therefore the Gemara would seem is bringing proof from here that it must be the Mishnah is talking about lehashoyis, that the argument at the first argument is talking about shehiyah, and the second argument is talking about chazara. So the Gemara is trying to bring proof from here that the girsa, or the explanation, when it says lo yitain, it means lo yishoyis, and even by shehiyah you need grufa uketuma. And Emir Tzashem, in the next shiur, we'll continue from here.